Hey, welcome back to the show for caregivers about caregivers, hosted by a caregiver. I am Peter Rosenberger, bringing you 30 years of experience to help you stay strong and healthy while you're taking care of somebody who's not. John, we have a great guest here with us today. She's known all over the world, from Entertainment Tonight, The Celebrity Apprentice, and just amazing. But for this show, she is a fellow caregiver, and we are thrilled to have Lisa Gibbons here with us. She's calling in. Lisa, thank you for being on the show. Welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
And I wanted to mention that we're both South Carolinians, and we don't have to worry about translation, because if I happen to go off the rails here and get real country, Lisa will be able to understand me, John.
I had no idea.
I got you.
The last guest we had on was from Boston.
It was wicked bad. But we are thrilled to have you here. Lisa, thank you for sharing your heart with us and your story and your passion to help fellow caregivers. This show is all about strengthening family caregivers, and the need is great. You, more than most, know how difficult this journey is. Tell us a little bit about your journey as a caregiver.
I went into it kicking and screaming. I was a very reluctant recruit. I think that many of us don't willingly put the sweater on. I'm like, oh, this doesn't fit me. These are not my clothes. I guess I was waiting for someone to send me a greeting card, which, you know, it never arrives in the mail, does it?
No.
congratulations, welcome into the club. It's just never like that. I kept thinking that, our culture would catch up with the need that you guys speak about so wonderfully and are so lovingly supportive of. But we're getting better, and the conversations are getting stronger and more powerful. But, it's just not that way. And it wasn't that way for me. I isolated, and our whole family did. When my mother got Alzheimer's disease after being a caregiver for her mother, you would think that we had a blueprint. We didn't. We all went to our corners and licked our wounds and I got over busy. That's where I went to hide. And my brother went into denial. My sister got depressed. And my dad pretty much just closed the door with a bottle of red wine, and we said, wait a minute, what can we do? What can we do? If we're acting this way, everyone must act this way. What can we possibly add or contribute to this narrative? And so we created what we wished we'd had, and that became Lisa's Care Connection, and that's our community for caregivers.
Well, and like most caregivers, we tend to learn it the hard way. It's on-the-job training, and there is very little blueprint. I remember a counselor once told me, he said, look, Peter, I'd recommend a book for you to read, but you're the guy to write it. And I'm 30 years now plus into this, and it is a brutal journey. And I often refer to myself as the crash test dummy of caregivers, because if you could fail at it, I've failed at it. But in this thing, you and your family pulled together. I want to throw out a couple of things with you, Lisa. Just get your read on it. I talk about three I's that every caregiver deals with. We lose our independence, we isolate, and we lose our identity. I can't tell you over the years how many people have asked me about my wife, but I can count the ones that have asked about me. And how does that resonate with you, those three I's, independence, identity, and isolation?
Well, it's interesting when you say how many have asked about me. That's a big one with the groups that we talk with, and was with me too. And after a while, I think if you held up the mirror, you wouldn't even see yourself in it. It would almost be like there'd be no reflection there, because you get so accustomed to even feeling like you don't exist. And when we talk about how imperative it is to take your oxygen first, you begin to realize that in your caregiving mode, you don't even take deep enough breaths to think that you can even fill up a heart and soul. So it's almost like you're not even giving yourself credit for being a whole person. So I think that's real for almost everybody. And for me, I was, working at like one quarter of what I had to offer, because I think most people will say, well, what does this have to do with everybody if you're not a caregiver? But you know, we know the percentages of people who are offering care also in the workplace, and we know that they're not able to work at full steam, and we know they're coming in late and calling in sick and not able to focus when they're there, and all the things that are happening and how it's affecting the bottom line all across America. And we know this is everybody's problem, and we all need to care about it more, and that if we would just help that person find the eye back again, that everybody wins. But we sure aren't... aren't getting there fast, are we?
No, and we're not. There's 65 plus million of us. Almost half of us are in the workforce, and you reference those statistics, and they're amazing statistics. I've been saying for years, you know, if you love somebody, you're going to be one. If you live long enough, you're going to need one. And in your case, when you interact with all these caregivers and all the things that you do you find that they have a hard time speaking in first person singular? So when I ask a caregiver, how are you doing? Well, she just got home from the hospital last night, or he had a bad night. And they can't speak. And then they start, when you finally get them to say something in their own voice, that's when the tears and the stammering come. Is that pretty consistent with what you've seen?
That's very consistent. Very consistent. And when you try to tell them, you're doing a good job, you know, they really, it's very hard for them to hear it, to give credit and validation. And, you know, that's really been the most exciting thing for me, is to be able to, you know, turn that back around for people who offer care. I think they're the real heroes of our culture. I mean, we've got all this focus on the healthcare system. Well, hello, the caregivers are the healthcare system. That's it. That's the healthcare system.
Write that one down.
Yeah, write that one down.
Yeah. Well, and we talk about this on the show a lot. We don't give nearly enough credit for showing up.
Well, that's the thing. We caregivers beat ourselves without mercy. And you talk about this a lot with senior helpers and the caregivers you interact with about guilt. And we just flog ourselves. So when you try to give some kind of affirmation, we're so wrapped up in guilt that we can't. And there's no problem so bad that we can't make it worse with a little bit more guilt. And so one of the things I'm on a mission to do is help caregivers accept the fact that you don't have to judge yourself exclusively by your job performance. You can look at your attendance. And our attendance is spot on perfect. We show up every day. However we drag in, we still are showing up and getting the job done to the best of our abilities. And talk about the guilt that caregivers struggle with. I know you've seen this. You've done this in your own life, and you've seen this with all the people that you've interacted with. And what are some common themes, and what are some things that you're saying to it?
Well, you know, my mother always said to me, you know, show up, do your best, let go of the rest. And, you know, you do have to get scored on the showing up and on trying. Are you trying? You know, trying doesn't mean that you are going to get it in the basket. Sometimes you just get exasperated, and but you did show up again, right? You did show up the next day and say, okay, I'm here again.
Every day,
let's go. I'm what you got.
Bleary-eyed and dragging, but we're here.
And I think you're absolutely so right about that. And the other piece I think that's hard is why I do this work with senior helpers is, you know, asking for help is difficult. We don't have a skill set for it. We think somehow it's going to rob our souls. We think that we don't get to go to heaven. We don't get a gold star. We're going to be judged. It is, I think, my whole personal mantra is this: breathe, believe, receive. It's the receiving part that's tough for us. But once we can let go of that, so you know, we're so tightly wound. Once we can open up and let somebody else in to see us, warts and all, and to say, "Wow, I need some help here," then it we can exhale, and things get better. And I think it's the highest form of humanity, both to give help and to receive it. Sometimes I just say, "Stop achieving and start receiving." And we, you know, as caregivers, you know, we're those, you know, sit on the front row kind of students where it's like, you know, call on me, I can do it, I can do it, I can do it. It doesn't matter that I've got so much going on. Well, the best thing you can do right now is to say, I've got too much to do. Help me. And delegate one little thing and look what will happen. And we do teach others how to treat us by the way we treat ourselves. So with my dad, when he had a heart attack, he had open heart surgery. The next day he had colon surgery. We had to have a strategy. And look, I literally wrote the book on fierce optimism, but that wasn't a plan. And my brother and sister live very close to him, like within 15 minutes. I'm the long-distance caregiver. We all needed help. And so we brought in someone from Senior Helpers. You know, they provide in-home care. We had the family caregivers, the in-home care provider. We coordinated with the doctors. We had them to come help with the meds, with meal preparation, with driving errands. We had a strategy, and we had to have help. So some people just need a peace of mind visit. Maybe they need someone to drive errands. They need someone just to help with the laundry. It's a customizable thing, but I've seen it make a huge difference in the lives of family caregivers and their loved ones.
You know, so a reporter once asked me, said, well, it wasn't a religious interview. It was just a reporter just talking to me. He said, well, what would Jesus do as a caregiver? And I said, well, I don't know what he would do. I'll tell you what he did do. He delegated. He had John take care of his mother while he was hanging on the cross. And I thought, you know, if Jesus could do that, then you know what? I could ask for help too. And I'm all about trying to equip caregivers with the courage and the vocabulary of asking and identifying what help is. And I really try, and I'm going to run this by you too and get your thoughts on it, and I'll let you go because I know you're very busy. But it's a when people say, well, let me know if there's something I can do, and I try so hard to get people to stop saying that phrase. And I said, don't ask a caregiver, well, let me know if there's something I can do for you, because now I got to think of something for you to do. Instead, offer something very specific. You know, can I send someone over to clean the gutters? Because nobody thinks it's a good idea for a caregiver to be on the roof cleaning gutters. Or, you know, I'm at the grocery store. Can I pick this up for you? And that kind of stuff, the more specific, there's riches in the niches. The more specific that you get, the more you're going to be able to be a source of help and a real blessing to people to do that. How does that resonate with you?
I am so with you on that. I'm so with you. And I'm glad you brought it up because that's the thing. First of all, no caregiver has time to think of what you can do to help them. They're not going to come up with any darn thing.
And they're not going to trust you to do it right or stay with it a lot of times.
Stay with it. So I do the same thing. I always say, don't even ask. Just say, I'm making a casserole. I've made two. I'm dropping one off for you.
Exactly.
Right?
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm on my way to the dry cleaners. You know, how about put your bag out by the front porch and I'll just pick up your dry cleaning on my way.
Beautiful.
Exactly those things.
Beautiful.
Just do it, do it, do it. If it's wrong, they'll probably tell you it's wrong. But just try. Just stick your foot in it anyway.
Well, and by the way, you know, we're all about sticking our foot in. So I don't know if you know that.
Look,
my wife
Peter,
is a double.
Don't be a heel.
My wife is a double amputee, and we have a prosthetic limb outreach in West Africa. So John and I are always making leg jokes here, and Gracie does too. In all fairness, I mean, I've seen her take her leg off and scratch her ear at a stop sign with people, and they just freak out. So
you did not say that.
Oh, I did say it. I mean,
Peter one time attached a dog to her wheelchair. Okay,
yeah,
there's video. I've seen it.
Jeff Foxworthy. And I did a whole thing of you might be a caregiver if, to let people know, because some people don't identify that, you know, like if you have a professional carpet cleaner on retainer, you're probably a caregiver. Or, you know, if you hooked up your dog to your wife's wheelchair just to see if it would work, and it did, and I have footage. So, you know, I mean, what we want to do is let caregivers know, first off, it's okay to laugh. It's okay to come together and be joyful. It's okay to like you said, breathe. I do martial arts, and breathing is a part of everything we do. We are trying to white knuckle this thing. And I know in the closing thing is, if you could say anything to your younger self when you did come kicking and screaming into this, what would that be? Because there are so many people right now listening who are in that same place. They're in that place where they're screaming going into this, and they're just terrified. They got the phone call or whatever's happened. What would you say to them?
I think it's like what my mother said where we went earlier. You know, show up, do your best. Let go of the rest.
I love that phrase.
Kudos to mom.
My mother lined us up when she got Alzheimer's. She lined up the entire family, and she said, look, when I kick and scream and can no longer call you by your name, just know that's the disease talking and not me, and I do not want to go live with you, Lisa. I don't want to live with your brother. I don't want to live with your sister, and you have got to tell Daddy when it's time to let me go. She gave us our marching orders. It was unbelievable. She made us strong as a family. She was amazing.
what a tremendous gift of a parent to that. And I'm sorry that you've had to go through these things, but I'm not sorry for what you've learned through it. And I'm not sorry for what you've become through this process, because you've become such an inspiration and blessing to so many. And here you are taking the time to call our show and share some of those things. Thank you for being such an encouragement to all of us here.
Yeah, and the lessons that you've shared are not just for caregivers. They're for people talking to caregivers, like we talked about earlier. It's just, it is a wonderful thing.
Amen. I love you guys. I thank you so much for everything that you do. You're just such a gift, and always fun to unwrap. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Lisa. And if people want to get involved with Senior Help, where do they go?
Well, go to seniorhelpers.com. They've got franchises all over the country, and they would love to help you figure out what makes sense for you and your family.
Seniorhelpers.com. And also, I think it's lisagibbons.com if you want to know more about Lisa, as if you don't already know more about Lisa. I mean, it's Lisa Gibbons, for heaven's sakes. However, if you want to see more, go out to her website. And thank you so much for being with us. Hey, listen, don't go away. We'll be right back. This is Peter Rosenberger. This is the nation's number one show for the family caregiver. We are glad you're here. Don't go away.